Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Weekend Edition. Pastor David McGee is internationally recognized for his unique conversational, verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter teaching through the Word of God. We have hundreds of his teachings through the many books of the Bible and encourage you to visit crossthebridge.com to study the scriptures along with Pastor David. But right now, open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Job and follow along for today's teaching. Pastor David has been teaching practical lessons from the life of Job. What needed to be learned back then still needs to be learned today. I think you'll find that to be true as we take a closer look at the conclusion of the book of Job. Now, here's Pastor David.
Turn with me to Job 42. I can promise you we've got some surprises in here for us tonight. Job chapter 42, verse 1 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything.'" Do you know that God can do anything and everything? So I love the way that he starts out and says, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." You asked, "Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, 'I will question you, and you shall answer me.' I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, he had a lot before, but now Job is massive. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep. He had 7 before. 6,000 camels. He had 3,000 before. 1,000 yoke of oxen. He had 500 before. And 1,000 female donkeys. He had 500 before. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Karen Hupuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. That didn't usually happen. The inheritance went to the guys, and the girls were, they were kind of passed over, but the thought was that they would marry another guy who had gotten an inheritance. But it's noteworthy that Job gave his daughters their inheritance. In verse 16, "After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days." The Bible speaks of heaven in a plural form. A lot of things on earth are modeled after heaven, we're actually told in the Hebrew scriptures. And to make things even more interesting, we recognize that there is an earthly Jerusalem, and the Bible speaks about a heavenly Jerusalem. Perhaps that's why Jerusalem ends in an E-M, which tells anybody that reads and knows Hebrew, Jerusalem is a plural word, like more than one. What do you mean more than one Jerusalem? There's one here, the earthly, and there's another heavenly Jerusalem. Now, when we see that Paul says in one place that he knew a guy who went to the third heaven, we spoke before, that means there's a third heaven. If there's a third heaven, what do we know? There's a first heaven, and what else do we know? There's a second heaven. Now, does the Bible speak of a second heaven? No, absolutely not, nowhere. Well, how do you know there's a second heaven? Because there's a third heaven. And the analogy I used was, you know, if you go to buy a house and there's two bathrooms in it, and you say, wait a minute, now, Mr. Realtor, I plainly said I wanted a third bathroom. And the realtor says to you, oh, yeah, I got that. So you got your first bathroom and you got your third bathroom. You'll say, no, you're obviously missing the point. It can't be the first and the third. It's the first and the second. You have to have three to have a third. So God expects us to use our common sense and know there's a second heaven. Because if there's a first, there's a third. The Bible tells us that God is in charge of everything. He's left man in charge of the earth to have dominion, subdue the earth. I've spoken before about the Hebrew names and how there's something in there prophetically that somebody, you know, has a certain gift or such. We think that Adam was just giving the animals names. It's much deeper than that. Read before and after, but we can't go into that because we got this. You know, let's ask ourselves this. What relationship does God think we should have with this book? Do you think he thinks we ought to read it 5 minutes on Sunday? Do you think he thinks we should read it every other day? What does he think? What does he feel? We have a hint when Jesus was here and they would ask him questions, and repeatedly he said, have you not read that in the beginning God created them male and female? Have you not read? He says it 5 times. And there's not only that he's thinking we had read it, but that we had also understood it. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A couple other versions, New Living Translation says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed. That's a big hint. And who correctly explains the word of truth. In the King James, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17, and it goes on to explain, there's something deeper going. Talking about, I mean, it's in Philetus, it says, and their message will spread like cancer. After he says, dig, study to show yourself approved, he says this, and their message will spread like cancer. How many of us in Philetus are of this sort? In verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection's already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Don't miss that. In asking ourselves, what relationship does God expect us to have with the Word of God? That passage says, study to show yourself approved. It didn't say read. It said study. And then it says the ones who didn't got into this idle, profane babbling. And it spread like cancer. And they overthrew the faith of some. Life lesson here. We are to study, to eat, to chew, to swallow, to know and love the Word of God. We are to study, to eat, to chew, to swallow, to know, to love the Word of God. There's so much in this book, gang. And yeah, we're to study, we're to dig, we're to read. One of the pictures of meditating on something is a cow chewing the cud. Cows have multiple stomachs, and it's kind of gross, but interesting that they, you know, eat grass and swallow it, and they bring it back up to chew it some more. And then they swallow it again. and I bring it back up to chew it some more, and it goes to the third stomach. That's the word picture. You know, when you get a verse and you hear it taught, you know, oh, that is so awesome. And then you go home and you look at it and you study and you dig a little bit more. And then maybe, I was just thinking, it's kind of like leftovers, you know. I mean, when you go to a restaurant, you go to eat and you can't eat it all. And there's always some leftover that you take home and give to people you care about. Amen? So take the word of God home to people you care about and share the word of God. It's amazing to me that God has revealed himself in this book and is willing to reveal himself even more so to anybody who'll take the time to dig in here. This is a big part of what we're about. I committed years ago that whoever came, that I would love them with every ounce of my energy and that I would teach them, not my opinions, but the word of God to whoever would come. Now, I was reminded as in the beginning on a Thursday night, looking out, and there was six people there that night. There was my wife and five kids, but there they were. And so I taught them. Now, probably a couple of those kids, it didn't really sink in and go deep, but maybe some of them it did, like tonight. See, we all have listened. Have we really heard? God is willing to make a covenant with anyone in here. And then he wants to teach and give wisdom, the word of God, a reality, the blessings and the favor of God, a reality in your life for anybody who'll take the time. That's what God said. Let me add this, that because of my calling and what the Lord, I believe, has gifted me to do, I am here to teach anybody who will listen, apply, and learn. And D.A. said something, and he was sharing, and I remember the moment when we were talking, and he said, I really want to know the Word of God. I said, well, I really want to teach you the Word of God. So that's a good fit. And he said, I really want you to teach me. And he meant it. And so now, in this season, I will continue to raise men up. Men will continue to come in here and share. And that's a great joy. But I'm also going to be looking for men that I not only teach the Word of God to, but I teach to teach the Word of God, to begin to show them how to get in and dig and to present a teaching. Now, I don't know what that looks like right now. This is not leading up to an announcement of Bible college or course or anything like that. I guess it starts with making sure you come in here hungry Thursday and Sunday. Because let's understand, the world is trying to get you to think like them, okay? It's worldly, it's selfish, it's ungodly. God wants you to think like he does. That's according to his word. Loving, kindness, forgiveness. It's very unlike the world system, and you get to choose. Well, I'm a Christian, I chose. No, it's not that simple.
Pastor David will be back in less than 1 minute as he continues teaching in the book of Job. A great way to start out each day is with a practical email devotional every morning from Pastor David. Visit crossthebridge.com to start receiving yours for free. If you have a cell phone, you can also text the word encourage to 94253 to receive a short encouraging text from us each day. That's 94253. And now back to the teaching.
If you're a Christian, that means you chose once. But gang, each one of us has to get up every day and say, today I'm going to follow the Lord. Today, God's on the throne of my heart. Not my flesh, not my feelings. I'm upset at somebody, so I'm going to hold on to that. No. There's a reason, and it's a powerful reason. The Bible says, don't hold on to your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Break the cycle. Final life lesson. God has made a covenant available to mankind. Anyone willing to be a believing whosoever. God has made a covenant available to mankind, anyone willing to be a whosoever. Now, how does a covenant relationship with God happen? Well, number one, God's already done everything. needed and necessary to be our Messiah, our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. Number two, anyone who accepts the covenant and its conditions gains all of its blessings. Anybody who rejects it does not. So when you accept the covenant, you accept the conditions and you gain all the blessings. Third thing, the covenant offered brings with it blessings that are only available to those who accept, receive, and believe the covenant. God says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What an awesome offer. What an incredible offer. God says, now please, this is God speaking to each one of us. In this moment, don't think, oh, that's God speaking to an unbeliever. No, that's God speaking to you, speaking to me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening and thank you for choices. Lord, life is filled with choices. Lord, thank you for giving us choices. And you help us and you give us the Word of God, which helps us with these choices and helps us when we mess up to be forgiven, when we've made the wrong choice. Lord, you tell us in your word to not let the sun go down on our wrath, our anger, our unforgiveness. Lord, there's people here listening that go to bed with their wrath every night and wake up with it. There's people here listening that have offenses and attitudes towards other people here, towards pastors, towards me, and they are making a choice, a bad one. They're choosing their offense, their selfishness, which leads to more and more misery. If tonight, whether you're here or listening from somewhere else, if tonight you're upset with somebody, you're angry with somebody, you've got an attitude towards them, there's unforgiveness, any of those, all of those, you are choosing those things. And you're choosing those things over Jesus. Now, friend, that's your choice, but I got to tell you, it's not a good one. Lord, help us to choose well. Lord, I know many of us have been wounded and sadly make decisions, not based on you and your word, but we make decisions based on our woundings and our feelings. And then the enemy comes and says, oh, no, that doesn't apply to you. You can't be set free tonight. That's for somebody else. Friend, if you're holding on to your wrath, you're choosing not to have your healing. I'm asking for anybody, for everybody who will listen, who will have ears to hear, that you put the wrath down. You put your offense down. You put your attitude down. Even those who think they are spiritual in clinging to the wrath and unforgiveness, you too should put it down. Why? Because the Lord instructs us to. Friends, he actually points out there's a danger here. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So tonight, each and every one of us has a decision to make. To choose God afresh. To forget what is behind us. To look excitingly to the future of what God is going to do. To choose God. To choose love. To choose forgiveness. That's the choice. But each and every one of us needs to be willing to not walk in your path, but to walk in the path that God has for you. And friend, right now is the time. Lay it all down and follow him. There is such clutter and confusion and voices. Who are you listening to? Let the voice speak to you. Let the Savior guide you. Let the one who protected and healed Job protect and heal you. And may you call upon him with both hands. Drop whatever's in your hands and reach out for him. It's all or none. God wants all of you. And these are the times that require all of us. There's lives at stake. God has raised up leaders and myself to help teach, train, and reveal the Bible to anybody who will listen. This is a special place that needs to be prayed for, encouraged, supported, not torn apart every time you make a phone call. Whatever has filled your hands, let it go. If you've looked back from the plow, stop. Look forward. God rescues us, but he never promises he's going to keep rescuing us. He actually says, I will not always strive with man. If you've been speaking ill of people, stop. The Spirit of God will help you do that. A soul is too precious of a thing to lose over a loose mouth. If you struggle with that, ask God to forgive you. Share with a friend to help you be accountable. I know when God asks us to come to him and give our all, I know it's scary. And I know the enemy loves to get in there and create fear and apprehension and anxiety. But friend, this is God we're talking about. He will hold you in the palm of his hand. When you come to him, you are never in such a safe place. But try to lead yourself. Try to direct yourself in these spiritually confusing times. And you'll land in a world of hurt in a hurry. The words of Jesus ring out tonight. Have you not read? God, we thank you for this place. God, this is so far beyond one person or one man's vision. God, thank you that there's so many people here that are hungry for the Word of God. They're sick and tired of cotton candy. And God, they desire truth even when it hurts. God, I ask that you would grow the number of people who want to embrace your words. And Lord, tonight, help us to each and all, once again, lay it all down. Give it all away. No holding back. God, if tonight we knew you were coming in 30 days, we would live differently. You may be coming in 30 days. So friends, let's live differently. If Jesus was coming in 30 days, what would you change tomorrow? What would you do differently? Then do it differently. If you knew this was your last Sunday on the face of the earth, how would it be different? Then let it be different. If you knew you had 30 days, which family members would you call? Then call them. If you knew some of the conversations were going to be the very last ones you had, how would you change them? then let them be changed. Let us be changed. If you want to embrace the Lord and all that He has for you, just come forward right now. The prayer team, if you guys would come forward and begin to pray for folks. Just continue to come as they sing and worship the Lord. Give it all away. Tonight is your night. Don't let it slip away. Give it all away.
You've been listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge Weekend Edition. Tune in again tomorrow afternoon as Pastor David continues teaching on most stations.
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
Remember that you are not alone and you are loved. Also, don't forget to visit crossthebridge.com to discover more resources provided at no charge to help you learn more about the Bible. If you'd like to help us share God's Word with others, click on the donate button and support this program with your regular gifts. And tune in to Cross the Bridge Weekend Editions each Saturday and Sunday on this station or on the crossthebridge.com website. God bless you and have a great day.